welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Okay, so we're going back to Five Smooth Stones. You're wondering now how I'm going to link in the first Lego movie with that. And it's not to do with team in a sense. Let's just go ahead with what we've got. So we've been looking at Five Small Stones. Very, very quick recap if you've not been here. Because you can go back and listen to the previous two online, which will be really good to do because it's really about what God is doing amongst us right now. But the very quick recap was the story of David and Goliath, where we looked at originally. And when David went to meet Goliath, he picked up his stick in his hand and he ran towards the giant. And what God was saying to us, and I believe God is saying to us as a people, is we've got to do exactly the same thing. Pick up our stick in our hand and run towards the giants. The stick, Zechariah uses it figuratively for God's covenant. So you've got the picture of David taking hold of the promises of God, the covenant of God. Okay? He knew he was going to be king, so he had to win somehow. He took it in his hand, and in Hebrew, the word for hand means strength and power. When it talks of God's right hand, it's talking of his strength and his power. So it's about taking hold of the promises of God in his strength and his power. Okay? And then to see victory, you've got to run at the giant. If you run away from the giant, he mows you down from behind. You run straight at the giant, and you often end up doing something that looks ridiculous, like 14-year-old boys with no armor flinging stones at huge warriors. It looks like trouble's ahead. But in fact, because he's got hold of the promise, because he's doing it in God's strength and God's power, the giant falls to the ground. And the five smooth stones come from the fact that David picks up five smooth stones from the stream to use with his sling. He actually only ever uses one to kill Goliath. He uses one stone and Goliath's sword to kill him. The stone knocks him to the ground and then he cuts his head off with his own sword. But there are five stones because God always gives us far more than we need. He always provides completely in abundance. And in fact, we have a whole book full of stones, the promises of God, that we can use to see the enemy defeated. Okay? And then last week we went through some of the key scriptures that we'll be using in Days of Favor. We're just going to briefly look at two of them again this week, but slightly taking them further. Okay? So, and I haven't forgotten the Lego movie. This was the first one. I feel almost that this is the overriding key of the week. Because God wants his people fruitful. All right, it says that Jesus is glorified when we're fruitful. And that's fruit in our personal lives, but it's fruit of seeing people saved. We can't run away from. God wants to see people back in a relationship with him. That's the whole, Jesus came to die so that a relationship with God could be restored that had been broken down by sin. Someone had to make the way back, so Jesus came to save us. Okay, and then answering his call, we can make the journey back into a relationship with Jesus. But that relationship with Jesus looks like this. Because when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you don't any longer have a dusty Bible on the shelf. You have a whole book full of active living promises that change your life. And this is just one of them. This is from the book of Leviticus. It says, I will look upon you with favor. And these, of course, are what we've always called, since we started this way back now, days of favor, because favor is the favor of God, the grace of God. We don't deserve God's favor. We can never think, oh, what a wow church we are. We're so good. We're so cool. We've got such good worship leaders that God must do something. That's rubbish. It's about God's grace wherever you are and responding in obedience to whatever he's doing. Okay? We do strive to be the best. We do strive. No, not strive. That's the wrong word. We do want to be the best. We do work hard to use everything that God has given us. But sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work if we're just doing the adventure. You see, what Elka's trying to do now with Christmas, it could completely fail. She might get two people turn up and say, I'll be the bass. You know?
Silent night, holy night.
That's more like a ska metal version. But anyway, and it wouldn't work. So would it mean that Elka was wrong to come and say, come on, let's form a choir, let's do some outreach. Maybe we'll get into the Brunswick, we'll certainly be on the streets and we'll sound good. and then nothing happens. Does that matter? No, because she's trying to do something. And we just need us to try. It's okay for it not to work, although we want it to work. Sounds like I'm speaking failure over you. I'm not at all. But if it doesn't work, it's okay. And so often, people don't try something, don't go for anything. And that's what was all wrong in Legoland. The song actually, of course, is satirical. Is that the right word? Everything is awesome when you're part of a team. But of course, you've got the cameras watching them. You've got the big boss in charge. And I'm sure in all their sort of motivational talk, somebody said, there's no I in team. And do you know that is completely wrong? I'm not a very good speller, as you've just appreciated. A team is made up of I's. There is an ME in team. And that ME that's in team is very, very important. Because in Legoland, this is the gospel according to Legoland, in Legoland, what had happened was that they were such a strong team. Yeah, they were getting stuff built, things were happening, but they'd all lost their individuality. They all bought a $37 cup of coffee. They all dressed in the Lego thing. They all absolutely followed the instructions. You know, and you think, well, surely we've got to follow God's instructions. Yes, but God's instructions are not like a Lego. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. God leaves his instructions with us to take and run with creativity and innovation and energy and passion. And for all of us to sort of hear from God, okay, what am I doing then? But what happened in Legoland at this point, anyway, we're not going through the whole movie, was that the me or the I in team had been squashed. And what was left was a strong team. But actually, it wasn't a strong team because it was just doing what one person wanted. It was all... It wasn't awesome at all, really, although the song's cool. And it is awesome to be part of a team. But each team is made up of people, and every person is different, and every person has unique giftings. You say, well, aren't we all in Christ? Yes, we are, absolutely all in Christ. We all stand in Christ, and Christ is in us. But Christ doesn't come along with a divine... eraser and just rub out everything that's to do with how he created us. What's the point of him saying, I've made you a masterpiece, if he rubs the masterpiece out and just goes, Jesus, 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 Jesus? You know, we are Jesus to the world, but we're Jesus in who we are. And you think, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, that is the Bible. Was Moses the same personality as David? Was Peter just like John? You know, I'm thinking of biblical heroes. They're really different, aren't they? Because God uses individuals. If you read the books of the Bible, if you read the way Peter writes, or the way Paul writes, or the way Jeremiah writes, or the way Moses writes, it's the different styles. It's different ways of putting things. They're different people, and yet this is the divine word of God. So if God can use people and personality and individuality in writing down the very word of God, it's obvious to me that the way we live our lives is also going to be very individual. That's not to say we just flesh out, well, in my world, I get drunk every Tuesday, and that's okay, because I'm me. No, we're not talking that. That's just getting silly. That's just abusing the grace of God upon us. We still want to live as God has called us to live. But how Martin lives his life out, and how Paul lives his life out, and how James lives his life out, and how Joanne lives her life out, is different, even though we're all in Christ. And sometimes the vision that's within each one of us gets squashed when we're part of something. Now, it's almost like I'm speaking contradictory of myself at the same time. We are a strong team. We are the body of Christ. We're the family of Christ. We are a community. But in that team, we are all individuals. We are all precious. We're all honored. We're all God's masterpieces. And we can all hear from God. But we don't do it in independence. We do it in interdependence. And dependence upon one another and in dependence upon God. Does that all make sense? It's not, I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. That's not what it is at all. It might be about, I've got this from God about going off and doing my own thing. What do you guys think? And we're submitting to the body of Christ. What do they think? And if they come back and say, you know what, this is God. We've got to send you. How much more exciting that you're being sent by a body that's behind you and with you than you just disappeared and did it, even though you were right. Or if the whole body comes back and say, we're just not hearing God on this, you're potentially being saved from disaster. because it's our hearts are passionate, our hearts are hot and enthusiastic, and we can easily be misled. It does say the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things, you know. But it doesn't pop into your life wearing a red devil suit with horns, and you say, "Oh, that's my heart trying to deceive me." You know, when we're deceived by our heart, that means we think it's true. We think it's right and we think it's good. And that's why God puts us in a body, so that there's somebody else who's brave enough to say, because we often get upset when someone disagrees with us, who's brave enough to say, "I don't think that's God." You know? Now, one of you is going to be wrong. But our problem is, we're so performance orientated, we think that's bad. It's not bad to be wrong. It's good to discover you are. We all will get things wrong. It doesn't mean we're less spiritual. Sometimes it's difficult to discern what God is saying. It doesn't mean you're not spiritual. If you think about it, in the early... Let's assume, I think it's a good assumption, that the who would go with me that the early church was pretty spiritual. They had some good trainers, and they got... Not these sort. They had some good people training them, especially the trainer. And they've been filled with the Holy Spirit very dramatically. So they're going to be people that are discerning, aren't they? So when they had to decide how they were going to treat Gentiles, it wasn't just one person had a quick prayer and said, "I have discerned the will of the Lord." It was difficult. They had to form a council at Jerusalem and discuss it and pray about it before they could decide what was right and how they should treat the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people who were getting saved. And they were the most spiritual beings of all. So sometimes it's difficult to discern God. And we shouldn't be worried about, "Oh, I've prayed for 10 minutes now and I might be wrong." Yeah, you might be. It's okay. Just don't leap into something huge, expensive, without praying with others, without checking with others. There are other things you can just have a go. You know, you're not sure. Is this right? Is this wrong? Well, there's nothing. It fits with the word. It fits with what God's saying to us as a people. I'll give it a go. And it might take off, or it might not. You know, you might feel God's saying that you're going to invite a group of people into your home. You're going to meet with them, have a meal together, perhaps talk about God, watch a movie, watch some other... I mean, Netflix is just full of so many Jesus programs these days. It's incredible. I don't know if you've noticed, if you're on it. There's so much stuff on there, to Bible films and stuff. Watch them, talk about them, and you think, "Well, I don't know if I should. I don't know. It's not going to do any harm. It's not a huge investment of cost or anything, is it? Just try it. See what happens. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, okay, we'll try something else." If you're going to do something dramatically wrong that's going to bring trouble into your life, if you are open to the leading of God, He will stop you. That's what happened to Paul. In his enthusiasm as an apostle, and I mean, St. Paul was a pretty spiritual guy, you know? He's written an awful lot of the New Testament, so he must be pretty good stuff. But even the Holy Spirit stopped him from heading off in a certain direction and said, "Hang on, I haven't told you to go there yet." And he turned around. God will be there for you. He will stop you. Okay? So we're praying favor, which means God's grace on what we do, that we're in the right place at the right time. We meet the right people at the right time. We've got the right finances at the right time. We're there to get the right job at the right time. Whatever it is, the right moment to meet and have a conversation with somebody. And His desire for us, our expectation, is that we will be fruitful and we will increase in numbers. And that overrides everything. Okay? So, let's skip on, because I'm not doing exactly the same as last time. And we looked at this on Thursday night. God encounter. "I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, the question I asked Thursday night, let's ask of everybody. Let's spread it amongst our whole church, our whole community. What are you going to ask for? What are you asking for? What is your passion? What is your desire? Let's, for this morning, put aside personal stuff. Let's just think about the community. What are you asking for us as a community and for this bigger, wide community called Scarborough or North Yorkshire? Because if there's nothing there, you won't get anything because you haven't asked for it. Those that don't ask don't get. I think there's an old expression. Well, it's biblical. You have to ask. Why? Why do you have to ask? Because God doesn't, he wants to work with you in partnership with you. He doesn't treat you as a messy toddler. He treats you as an adult, and he's in a relationship with you, and he's not just imposing his view on you. Like, was it Lord Business or President Business that was in charge of Legoland? He was just imposing his benevolent will upon all the Legoland people. God isn't like that. He brings freedom. He brings choice. He says, this is the way, walk in it. Are you going to do that? Well, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way that will bless you. That's not how I've created you to be. That's going to bring heartache. Try this. Do this. And you go off and you do something else. Well, you're free to do that. The Bible tells you that you're free to do that. But you will not end up in a relationship with God, and you will not spend eternity with Jesus and God, because the only way to do that is to say yes to Jesus, to make him your Lord and Savior. So what are you asking? Here's another scripture that's very, very similar from the chapter before, where Jesus again is talking to the disciples. You'll remember this from Andy Elm's pipes at the last this. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you remember that? If you were there, if you weren't, you won't remember it. You can listen to it. Oh no, you have to buy that one. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. So, God wants us to be fruitful. Let's focus on that bit for today, because we're not doing the pipes again. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is even more emphatic than ask for anything in my name. This is ask for whatever you wish. Although it does say, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So again, it's not just going off and doing whatever we feel like. It's about God placing passions and desires and vision within each one of us. But it is within each one of us. We're not just Legoland. Buying our $37 cup of coffee because everybody else is buying a 37 cup. You know, we're free to buy $36 cups of chocolate. But, or have a glass of water. So when it says, ask whatever you wish, and at the moment we're looking at community as we go into days of favor, what do you wish? I've met Christians who've been Christians for a long time, and I know that's, there's a lot of you here that are very new Christians, but I've met Christians that are Christians that are a long time, and they've had dreams and passions and visions, but nothing's ever happened. And nothing's ever happened because they've never done anything, and they've never told anybody. If you have a passion to be a missionary in Brazil, then you need to be trained to do that. So you start putting things in place. Testing it. Asking others to stand with you. Learning Portuguese. I think that's Brazil is about Portuguese. Well, you check whether it's Portuguese or Spanish and then learn that. That would be a big mistake, wouldn't it? I know a true story of someone that did learn the wrong language to go to a South American country. And then if we ask for whatever we wish, if we get hold of vision, if we live with purpose as individuals within the team, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and show yourselves to be my disciples. Because God doesn't take one person or even our senior leadership team and tell them everything that's going to happen. Because their brains would explode. They can't hold everything that would happen. It would be ridiculous. I've got to get a vision for Suzanne's passion for goldfish and how she's going to use it to win people to the Lord. I don't think that's a word from God. But I use it by way of an example because I've met people that are sitting there with a passion for goldfish that they want to use for the Lord, and they're waiting for some leader to come to them and say, thus saith the Lord, you have a passion for goldfish, and you, thou mayest, must, useth, to declareth the name of Jesus. You know, they want some sort of, and we just need to be a little bit more real about this. If that's within you, talk to somebody about it. I'm kind of hoping nobody's got a particular passion for goldfish, you know. But if you have, maybe you can use it. You know me, I'm terrible. I bore you all by mentioning how I love board games. It's a natural passion of mine. I just enjoy the challenge and the sort of, you know, working out how to do something if it's a cooperative game and trying to succeed or trying to beat the others if it's not. I just enjoy that. I like the social element of it. So, you know, I can use it to fellowship with people and to make Jesus known. But I don't walk in and roll the dice and get a six. Or a six means I've got to tell you the gospel. Did you know? That's not going to work, is it? You know, if I get a five, I'm going to tell you whether you're going to heaven or hell. And if I get a one, I'm really going to tell you where you're going. You know, that's not going to work. I've just got to be me. And people have just got to get to know us. Because we are us in Christ. So we will be fruitful. But what do you wish for? We got everybody in groups on Thursday night for quite some time. And people talked about, well, what were they going to ask for? What is it that's in them? There's nothing. It's so sad when you meet Christians in their 70s that have had some sort of passion since their 30s or even their 20s, but never done anything about it. I'm not talking about the Lord making you wait. That does happen. I'm just talking about you've just got this word and you've not really done anything. You're expecting somebody else to make it happen for you. Well, it's not going to. Because if someone else has to make it happen in the beginning, you'll never be able to run with it. It's got to be you. If God has spoken to you, and God doesn't give leadership everything. He gives generally to keep us together and moving in the same direction. He gives us the general purpose, the general vision. This is where we go. Let's dare to dream our vision. Okay, let's pray according to our vision. But how you live out that vision, how you living out daring to dream is down to you. Because if we don't, we just become a Legoland town full of lots of people maybe doing stuff, but not really actually achieving the fruit that God wants, because we're not being the individuals that we are. You know, and these days, it's quite easy to talk to others because you don't even have to, you know, ring them on their phone in the cold hallway. We've got mobile phones, we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Instagram, we've got WhatsApp. There's so many different ways. It's so easy to talk to others even if we can't be together. Isn't it? Not that there's a substitute for being together. We need that too. So, let's take that verse, ask whatever you wish, and let's think about what do you wish. You're not going to probably know just in the few minutes that I've been asking. It's a good question to go away with and think, what do I wish for? What do I want to see? And then when you've got that, you think, well, how am I part of that? Because it's quite destructive when people get these things that they do want, but they don't see themselves as being part of it. You know, and they'll pressure and pressure and pressure. We need to have a welcome team that goes on the streets before every service and goes around the streets asking people to come to church. Fantastic idea. Oh, I'm not part of it. But I will keep asking until it happens, because it's my divine job to nag. To nag it into existence. If that's what God said to you, you're to be part of it. Otherwise, he wouldn't bother it. You're going to be part of what initiates it. If you get stuff, you're part of it. You might not always be part of it, but you are part of it. Here's another one, just to finish this little bit here. Just in this same theme about what do you wish for, what you're asking for. Here's Jesus talking on prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Yes, 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 yes. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, find. And the one who knocks, the door shall be opened. And then he rounds that off with, in Matthew, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, though you are evil, never minces his words, our Jesus, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What are you asking for? And don't get so, I know some of you are so, you're so on fire and you're so passionate for Jesus. Don't get so caught up in it you can't ask for things that are going to bless you. You can do that too. If it's not of God, it won't happen. That's the worst that can happen, is it just won't happen. But he is your Father, and he does, as it says here, want to give you good things. He won't, if you ask for a fish, give you a stone and laugh at you. You know, he will give you what you ask for. In, I think it's Luke where this is also recorded, Jesus used his illustrations in different places all over the place. So sometimes you get slightly different versions because he told these stories many times. And he also uses this to say, so if you ask for the Holy Spirit, why would the Father not give you something that is that good? So if you say, come Holy Spirit, fill me, what will happen? You will be filled. There's no doubt about it. He's not going to say, I'll keep you waiting. I don't think you're good enough yet. It's not to do with being good enough. It's by grace. We don't deserve to be filled with the Holy Spirit, do we? Hallelujah. Right. No, we're not doing all the other scriptures. I just want to, we'll finish with Dare to Dream, just to remind you of it. I know it's a bit tiny, but I tried to get everything onto one screen for a change. There it is. We'll have that available as well during the week. We dare to dream. And the expansion of it, this is just, I just copied, cut and pasted it straight from the website. We dare to dream about the excitement and adventure that God has set before us. But that's not just us, it's me in us. What part of the adventure are you doing? Of being a church where people are loved, accepted and restored, where the blind see, the deaf hear and the lonely find friendship. We dare to dream of a church that is growing week by week as people are impacted by the truth, experience the power of the Holy Spirit and see miracles happening. Do we see miracles happening every week? No, only some weeks. Do we therefore give up? No, of course we don't. We're running at the giant. We see a church that equips, trains and disciples people and is full of God's love, where the tangible presence of God is known and experienced. We see a church that is part of transforming society and that brings honour and glory to Jesus Christ. And you know what? We also dare to dream of a church that's just great fun to be part of. It's almost flippant, that last bit, but it's so not. So many people get lost in their walk with God because they just get too serious. Jesus was never too serious. Robert Powell was quite serious. But Jesus never got too serious. If you don't know the Robert Powell reference, you're probably blessed. He was Jesus in a film. But Jesus laughed, he joked, he told terrible puns in the Greek. He's my kind of man. You know, he was fun, he attracted crowds. It's okay to have fun. It's just, let's get from God what he's got us to do. So there is an I in team. And everything is awesome when we're part of a team, but we're individuals that make up the team. We are the body of Christ with all kinds of different roles and different purposes and different things to do. Amen? And I suppose while we're mentioning Elka's choir and talking about being involved, we're involved in different ways. There's being involved here and there's being involved out there. We've taught how important it is to be doing things in our homes. And life team's good, but so's impromptu stuff. When you're just together with friends, and we're trying to remember not to be... It's so easy to just hang out with friends. We're all trying to include new people and help them to become part of it, to enrich our lives. But don't forget also being part of what makes things happen. So the choir. But also, what else? Is there something else you'd be part of? You've got spare time. Little Builders, they need new people to help make it happen. Such a great ministry. The hub team. We always need people on the hub team. Can you do any time during the week? Street angels, youth angels, community angels. They're all teams that are making a difference. Friday club. We're really down on leaders for Friday club. We're really down on leaders for Friday nights as people change and move around and are doing different things. Is it time for you to, I don't know. Does that mean me? Yeah, just maybe it does. Cavern Club, although that's thriving, actually. probably don't need new leaders for Cavern Club. Everybody's making a fab time of that. You know, but those kind of things. Anyway, I've finished. Have a totally blessed week. Don't forget to do days of favour, even when I'm not here the first 2 days. And just be blessed. Just encounter God. And remember, when you're hearing things from God, don't just keep it to yourself. Let's share. All right? It doesn't mean you share something and then it happens the following week. It just means we're sharing ideas so that we can determine God's way forward together. Amen? Hallelujah. No, I must stop. Thought of 31 other million things. I won't do that. Have an awesome week. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.